Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. Today's poem is by James Merrill, and it's called The Octopus. Merrill was a gifted formalist poet, lyric poet, who used a lot of traditional verse forms in his early career, but His career sort of divides into two parts. And in the latter half, he took an odd turn and became fascinated with the occult and produced a large body of poetry, some of which was reputedly written with the use of a Ouija board. I love James Merrill, but he got weird. This poem comes from the first half of his career, where he's sort of making the transition away from strict formalist verse towards blank verse and then free verse. And I'll admit that there are some days when I think I know what this poem is about or means, and other days when I'm not so sure. I will try and channel the former experience as I read the poem, offer a few comments, and then read it one more time. The Octopus. There are many monsters that a glassen surface restrains, and none more sinister than vision asleep in the eye's tight translucence. Rarely it seeks how to unloose its diamonds, having divined how drab a prison the purest mortal tissue is, rarely it wakes. Unless coaxed out by lustres extraordinary, like the octopus from the gloom of his tank, half swimming, half drifting toward anything fair, a handkerchief or a child's face swimming near the glass, the writhither advances in a godlike wreath of his own wrath. Chilled by the fragile reeling, 100 blows of a boot heel could not quell. Vision awoke and hungered. Percussive pulses where it clung to its cage brought close drums loud entrancement, volutions of a Hindu dance. I am willing to undergo the volition and fervor of many flesh-like arms, observe these in their holiness of indirection, destroy, adore, evolve, reject, till on that rigid glass where vision freezes, at length the sucking jewels seize. All right, as promised, I think this might be a poem about attention, which is an indispensable faculty or quality of a poet. Really, it's an indispensable faculty of an effective or fulfilled human being. But that's what makes the opening lines of this poem so striking, because it's so easy for attention to atrophy, for our ability or our desire to look closely at things, to shrivel up. The philosopher Simone Weil says that the highest form of attention, attention in its pure form, is the same as prayer. And by analogy, I think if you reflect on how difficult it can be sometimes to pray, then the difficulty of paying attention, awakening your attention is easy enough to grasp there. And Merrill seems to be preoccupied with that, like an octopus deep in a cave. It slumbers in the cool darkness. But it's a monster, he says, sinister. And whether he means vision, period, or just the vision that sleeps, if that's the monstrous thing, the sinister thing, that vision should be awake, but instead it sleeps. I think probably he means vision, period. rarely it seeks now to unloose its diamonds, having divined how drab a prison the purest mortal tissue is, rarely it wakes. There's a kind of jaded complacency that the vision develops. Nothing new to see here, nothing new under the sun, and so nothing to excite the vision, to awaken the attention through desire. But, Merrill allows, never say never. There may be the luster extraordinary, the striking or the beautiful thing, anything fair, he says, that draws it out. But once drawn out, you have to reckon with what you have awoken. And here, attention is not entirely benign. This is the most fascinating part of the poem for me. The extended metaphor of the octopus as vision becomes a kind of scary. He describes it at one point as advancing in the godlike wreath of its own wrath. This frightening sort of billowing out of the octopus's body behind it as the head comes towards you. If you've never witnessed an octopus move in person up close, you should have this experience sometime. It's both beautiful and eerie. And then he compares it to a Hindu dance, which is also a terrifying but mystifying prospect. If you look at any examples of Hindu art, often the depictions of Hindu gods are frightening. Their many arms are holding gruesome instruments of war or their own defeated victims, sometimes animals or even children. It's really terrible, scary stuff. But all of these images attached to the concept of vision that has been awoken and now wants to grab onto and harness whatever it sees betrays this sort of obsessive desire in the attention, especially of the poet. Once something has caught your eye and drawn your attention, you have to behold it. You have to turn it over. You have to look into it so deeply and intimately before you can be satisfied. And he suggests in the final lines that the viewer, the attender, the poet maybe in particular, becomes as much the victim as the vehicle of this process. I am willing to undergo the volition and fervor of many flesh-like arms. Observe these in their holiness of indirection, destroy, adore, evolve, reject, till on that rigid glass where vision freezes, at length the sucking jewels seize. He says, I'm willing to be sort of gripped and taken over by this experience. And then the final line of the poem is this striking and abrupt thud almost. You view, you see, you attend as deeply as possible, but then in this world, in the material realm, your attending eventually bumps up against human limitation the same way that the octopus bumps up against the glass of its cage. And yet you're left knowing that there is, in fact, something beyond the glass, which can only be glimpsed or imagined. Here's the octopus one more time. There are many monsters that a glass and surface restrains, and none more sinister than vision asleep in the eye's tight translucence. Rarely it seeks how to unloose its diamonds, having divined now how drab a prison the purest mortal tissue is. Rarely it wakes, unless coaxed out by lusters extraordinary, like the octopus from the gloom of his tank, half swimming, half drifting toward anything fair, a handkerchief or a child's face swimming near the glass, the writher advances in a godlike wreath of his own wrath. Chilled by the fragile reeling of 100 blows of a boot heel could not quell, vision awoke and hungered. Percussive pulses where it clung to its cage brought close drums loud and transmit, volutions of a Hindu dance. I am willing to undergo the volition and fervor of many flesh-like arms, observe these in their holiness of indirection, destroy, adore, evolve, reject, till on that rigid glass where vision freezes, at length the sucking jewels seize. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. To comb through our catalog of past episodes, to subscribe or to support this show, please visit dailypoempod.substack.com. For everyone here at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.